This is frankly the first time we have seen President Trump back down, reverse course since he has taken office. This is someone who is a self-described counterpuncher. He never backs away from a tough fight. And by all indications, and based on all of my conversations with administration officials, he had no intention of backing away from this fight. He was going to keep fighting. He ultimately felt as though this was the only way to fix the catch and release issue, which Pete just mapped out. But I think that the political pressure became too great, Craig. This is an issue that, yes, appeals to some of his core supporters, but I think perhaps not enough of them. And I think you had a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill who were very concerned about the impact on them in the midterms. What would it mean? Would it mean that Democrats would, in fact, take over the House? Because the images which were being linked to this administration and thereby to Republicans were just so devastating.
All right, welcome to another All About Nothing podcast. So, we were going to have a fairly intensive conversation about all of what was going on recently in the news with everything going on. Everything. Yeah, we were going to talk about all of it. And I think we're doing this midstream, by the way. So Zach is coming in and joining me, making sure that I can hear him. I can't, actually, so let me see if I can fix that. I don't know. We'll fix it here in a second. So, yeah, so we're going to have an entire conversation. Oh, my goodness. Hello. you have a spotter. I'm going to call your scout snipe. Can't tell if he's yelling at her or not. Anyway, Zach is on with us already. But yeah, so was going to have a whole conversation tonight on nothing but this immigration situation. That rhymes. It didn't occur to me that rhymed when I said it. But yeah, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Zach, welcome. So, now I can hear you. I don't know why I couldn't hear before. You're there, and that's what's important. So, terrific. Going to go ahead and get the show started here. Thank you, Zach, for being on again.
Absolutely.
I want to say you're now a regular. Does three
I like
make
being
a regular? Three or four? Well, being regular is important.
Very regular. Very regular.
So no jogging tonight?
Actually, no. I was thinking about it, but then the monsoon hit for like a good 30 minutes or whatever.
Oh, really?
It was. Yeah. Like coming down hard, and then you would look now like it never happened, but
yeah. Yeah. And it would feel like it's 180 degrees.
Yeah. I'll give it a 1 day rest, but I'll be back at it tomorrow.
Well, I went out this morning, and when I walked out of the house, because I do a 5K every morning. So I do like 3.5 miles, almost 3.5 miles every morning. And this morning when I walked out of the house, I didn't even look at the thermostat or the thermometer. I didn't look to see what the temperature was outside. And when I looked at my watch, because it was hot. It didn't make any sense as to why it was that warm. And I looked at my watch, and sure enough, it said it was 82 degrees at 4:30 this morning. 82 and like 98% humidity.
Oh, wow.
The look on your face is, why were you up at 4:30 in the morning?
If I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, it's because I haven't gone to bed yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, if I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, it's because I was at bed by like 9. So, hashtag dad life. Okay. So again, like I said, I wanted to have a conversation specifically this evening all about the immigration and the border situation. And I think that there are some misconceptions about what exactly was going on, because as has now been reported, apparently Trump has signed an order that is put a stop to the separating of families. They're the children and, right. And but here's the thing. So while he has signed this, we know that this is going to go into effect. I don't know how quickly it went into an effect, but what we do know is that they are going to stop separating these families.
Right. Well, the thing that kept getting me about it is how Republicans kept saying, well, it's been in since Clinton administration.
Wrong.
I don't care. I don't. Right. Okay. So it may be wrong, but I don't care whose fault it is. It's in your hands. Fix it.
Right. Exactly. See. Okay. So that is a misconception, is that because the White House kept saying that this was a law that was created under the Democrats, that, you know, at first he was saying that it was Obama's law and that Obama was the one that was responsible for this. And then when they couldn't actually go back to find anything where Obama had said, yes, we're going to separate parents and kids. And there were children involved during Obama's administration. Back in 2014, there was a mass exodus from some of the Central American countries, including northern Colombia and Ecuador. Parents were putting their kids on the road and basically sending just hordes of children, you know, anywhere from that. One of the reasons we have the Dreamers, sending these hordes of children, you know, from the ages of like 4 and 3 on up to like 16 and 17 years old. And they put these kids on the road because if they had stuck around in the countries that they were from, Venezuela, Ecuador, Colombia, you know, not Argentina, I'm sorry, that was but Nicaragua and Panama, these countries that are having some serious drug-related crime issues, or crime related to drugs and cartels and things like that.
Cartel, yeah.
So they're having these serious issues down there, and the only thing that parents could do was basically say, head north and go to the United States. The United States will help you. Because Obama was president. So the idea was that under the Obama administration, they would help. Okay. Mm-hmm. When they got here, of course, there was a Republican Congress in charge the Republicans were in charge of Congress. So immediately they put up a fight against it. But in the end, Dreamers were allowed, these people were allowed in the United States. There was they laxed on some of the immigration laws that were in place in order to allow these people to come into the United States and seek asylum as children, hence how we have the Dreamer Act. From there, moving into what we now have, because in that situation, there were at least one or two photographs that did get out of some children being detained, not necessarily in like they were arrested or anything like that, but that they were in a situation where I guess they were behind a chain link fence somewhere.
It looked like a warehouse that was just built with walls that were fenced, and then for sleeping arrangement, it was solar blankets or whatever you call them, with basically nap time pads on the ground.
Oh, you're talking about the one now.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
So back when Obama was president, there was a photo that leaked that did make it look like there were children on the floor or laying on mats. But this was from 4 years ago, and it was only two children. So there was a picture that leaked, and the administration tried to jump on it to prevent it from getting out. It still got out. That's just how things are now.
Shame on them too.
Well, yeah, no. And again, I am not a fan of Obama. I think that there were things that Obama did that he could have prevented. We could have, you know, the whole idea that the banks can't fail because they're too big and they're too important to the United States is just asinine. I say, let the banks fail. Screw the banks.
Absolutely.
Especially since all they did was turn around and take the trillions of dollars that was basically just handed over to them. They took that money and then fed it right back to their executives and their CEOs and their board members. I mean, it didn't go into actually helping America. Honestly, I mean, with the help of Obama's policies and whatnot on creating jobs and such, or allowing or giving companies and businesses tax breaks that they needed in order to reinvest in the American workforce, I don't think we'd be where we're at, because, you know, when he handed those banks the monies, they didn't do anything with it. It was basically status quo for them. They took the money and ran. And
all right, if you wanted to save your banking business and you wanted to keep your job, then make decisive cuts,
right?
Like inflated salaries and things like that.
Exactly.
Cut off branches that don't need to be utilized.
Exactly.
Get out of certain business aspects that are not profiting you and may have contributed to your downfall.
I agree.
To something like, it wasn't a bank, but to Ford Motor Company's credit, they didn't get a bailout. What did they do? They cut off Mazda, they cut off Jaguar, they cut off Land Rover,
yep.
They cut off all that. There's ways of getting around it, and they didn't want to do that because I like my cushion kind
right.
of deal.
Well, and even now, Ford has recognized that the industry right now is reaching sort of a low when it comes to some of these larger vehicles. And the fact that Ford was investing so much money into research and development in products that probably weren't going to be in a price range that was available to you and me, or, you know, just every, right. you know, Americans. And what they've done is they've cut themselves. They've cut research and development. They're not going to build but like a handful of vehicles until there is the availability of people that can buy the other vehicles. So Ford has gone and done another situation for themselves where they've said, well, this is just how it is. So we're going to ride this wave until it calms down. And then once it calms down, we'll come out with an F-150 that's got.
Well, and see, they've quit. They've decided to quit making like at least like three or four of their cars that they
right.
now produce.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it's just, guess what? Because they don't want a government handout, they're gonna go and do what's necessary to keep their business profitable.
Exactly, exactly. And
I think that's an admirable thing from
I agree.
A giant corporation,
especially from Ford, whose cars literally suck. So,
all right, Barry, we'll fight the next time I see you.
I mean, look, found on road dead, you know.
First on race day.
Not lately. But, I mean, I ease up. I didn't see
driving a Chevy around the NASCAR
yeah,
track.
I was going to say, I didn't see Dale Earnhardt driving a Ford. So, anyway.
Well, you didn't see Dale Earnhardt winning all the time either, did you?
That's true.
Junior.
Well, I mean.
Senior, sure.
Senior won a few races, yeah, but you know, anyway, that's either way. I'll be completely honest.
Sidebar.
While I like watching NASCAR on a Sunday afternoon when I'm heavily dosed in either alcohol or other substances that tend to put me right
life.
Over the edge, yeah, well, there you go, life, whatever. No, weed, come on. So when, you know, if it's gotten to the point where I'm exhausted, putting on some NASCAR is just what it takes to get you right over the edge to sleep. That's just,
for
it's,
sure.
it's perfect, you know.
And here we go up on the left turn and another left.
So all of that aside, the whole conversation tonight was going to be about some of the misconceptions and everything that was going on with this immigration situation. And it came to a head today with the president signing an executive order basically detailing that they would stop separating children from the parents. Now,
right. Go ahead.
No. Sorry. I was just going to say, I don't know where it actually goes from here. They're saying that this was Trump is saying that this will solve the problem. This will solve the problem of the children being separated from their parents. But it would lead. It wouldn't end his administration's zero tolerance. So what does that mean? So now what is zero tolerance? Are they just going to basically are they going to form a blockade that doesn't allow people to come into the United States? And if that's the case, then technically, I guess that's his wall. We don't really need to worry about, you know, this.
Well, right. Like, I agree that if you're going to come into this country, yes, you should absolutely come in legally.
Yeah.
Now, shoe on the other foot, if I was in Mexico and stuff was real bad, of course I'd be trying to get in.
Sure. And I would try to come in legally. I mean, but here's
right.
so
there's one checkpoint.
Yeah, exactly. The caveat to all of this is that there are only a few checkpoints, and basically the major highways that are coming out of Mexico into the United States are considered checkpoints by our immigration services and immigration and customs. So we have several highways that come in from Mexico, but. Without denying what that is or what they're there for, if you look at those and you say, well, they can come in through there, it's complete bullshit. Okay. If you've ever gone into Mexico and come back from Mexico, those checkpoints are, they flow a lot better, let's just say, for commerce. The idea that we have trucks coming in and out of the United States into Mexico and out of Mexico into the United States is so these checkpoints are mostly for commerce, and it is not an ideal situation for people to just walk through these checkpoints to seek asylum. And I was talking with Zach this week. I said, you know, because most of these people coming across the border are literally walking into the arms of ICE agents. I mean, the ICE agents know where they're crossing. These people coming across the border see the ICE agents. They're walking right up to them. No one is running. I mean, I'm sure there are, but from what is being reported on the border by the news and whatnot, the videos that's coming out of it, it's people literally crossing a river, and then ICE agents are just rounding them up. And at times, even on the border, they were taking the parents into one bus and they were taking the kids into another one. So they
Well, is there ever a silver lining at the end of that? Like, what would be their reason for just walking straight up to an ICE agent? Is there a scenario where they do get asylum in the U.S., or is it just a total shit fest?
Honestly, I don't know what the Trump administration actually had in place to take care of them once people had been detained, because I know that essentially the adults. Anyone over the age of 18 was basically being arrested and then detained for illegal crossing of the border.
Right.
Again, I feel like if we know where they're crossing and we know what the purpose in them crossing is, and we know that they are coming across to seek asylum, we have what we call the State Department, which could absolutely just set up a lemonade stand along with some papers that people can fill out, you know, to seek asylum. They could go ahead and sign up for asylum, or however all that works. But, you know, we did not give them we want them to seek asylum. We want them to come across legally. But a lot of the problem is that there's misinformation that's been given to these families that are making their way towards the United States. They think that they're going to come to the United States and be welcomed. They think that they're going to come to the United States and have the opportunity to start a new life, because that's what they're being told. And shit, even their own governments are telling them this.
Yeah.
It's not safe here. Go north, go to the United States, you'll be safe there. So they are being told by their own governments that this is where they need to come to, and our State Department hasn't done anything to say, no, that's not true. We're not, you know, it used to be that we had like the CIA and they would drop pamphlets from the sky and tell people, hey, we're going to bomb your city tomorrow. Why can't we drop pamphlets from the sky and say, hey, if you're headed towards the United States, head towards the highway, go towards one of our actual checkpoints, and you can then seek asylum there. But we're not doing any of that. This has all been what feels like is a show of force that President Trump can give to his base. He can basically say, look, I did what I could to stop these children, but these crazy, the moderate Republicans and these left-wing liberals, they had a problem with it. Now we have this influx of children that are now, you know, in the United States, and they have not sought asylum. They have not done what they need to do so that they can become legal citizens of this country. It's just, you know, we've set them up to fail.
I can't believe that all these people are going to come and truly, honestly believe that they're going to be welcomed into the United States. I feel like for decades and decades that's not the case. And word travels. For the ones who make it down and make it into the United States, illegally or legally, my experience with them is they do send money home for it, and they know it's a gamble. It's
right.
It's a gamble to be here. That they have to go to Raleigh and go to their it's an embassy, I guess, or whatever that's up there.
Right.
But there's
consulate. Yeah.
Consulate. That's what it is, and they have to like check in. But it's really weird because they know word has to trickle down over all these years to Mexico that like, yo, you're going to swim, crawl, jump, and run. Like, that's what you have to do. And that, it may sound like a little non-PC to say that. That's the literal truth.
Yeah.
It is like American Ninja Warrior for like 50 miles of straight hardship. And I think that's a known thing. Like, they have to be prepared for that. They may be, and I think the biggest thing is, to them, it is worth the risk because of the people who have made it, who say, hell yes, America is dope, but you really have to be smart.
Yeah.
That's why this whole kind of thing to me is perplexing. And I will be the first person to tell you, I can't begin to truly understand it, but I want to.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I need to, and I don't know if it's me attacking this administration or not, but, or even previous administrations, but, you know, the idea that people want to, I mean, if they know that it, let me just start from here. So, say someone coming from Ecuador has to cross, you know, through Panama and Nicaragua and Costa Rica and then Belize or Mexico, and they have to cross all of these countries in order to get all the way to the Mexico-American border, U.S. border. Most of those borders south of us are open. There is not an immigration issue that is politically brought up. I mean, this is essentially what this is. This is a giant political thing. It's not necessarily about trying to keep, you know, the idea behind trying to keep terrorists out. We're not keeping terrorists out of the United States from Mexico.
And real quick, do you think this is an inflated issue?
Yes.
Do you think? So do you think maybe this is a distraction from other things?
I do. I don't think that President Trump wants us. I don't think that President Trump and his administration want us talking about North Korea right now.
He mentioned it when he was signing that.
Sure. Sure, of course. But I don't think he wants them. I don't think he wants the media beating up on him and his decision to go to North Korea, because first of all, it was just stupid as hell. I mean, we didn't do anything in North Korea that anyone else has done before, except give Kim Jong-un the ability to stand in front of cameras with the president of the United States. And he looked like a schmuck standing up there. I mean, both of them looked just asinine.
Did you watch John Oliver last week tonight?
Yeah, I did.
On Monday?
Yeah.
So when he was talking about Trump coming up and being like, I want my people to his people stand up at attention when he speaks.
Yeah.
I want that too.
Tat, tat, tat.
Do what?
Yeah.
Like he really wants that unconditional devotion.
Yeah,
from
absolutely.
His people.
Well, and go ahead.
It's a smoke and mirror. It's just, he's going to throw any smoke and mirror show out there to, oh yeah, the Mexicans are coming across, but look what I just did. We're not separating families anymore. These damn Democrats, look what they did. Now I'm fixing it.
Yeah, I'm the compassionate president.
Yeah. No, you're not, bro. That, you did exactly what you should have done. I don't care if it was there before or after or what, or if it's your, somebody should have fixed it. And if you're actually going to fix it and this does something, fine. Now, how are these immigration officers going to find whose kids he?
Right. They've already been separated. How are you going to take those kids and match them back up with the parents that are currently being detained in these facilities in Arizona, Texas?
You're going to take them through and she's going to be like, you're donde Pablo. How are you going to do that?
No idea. It is a mess of messes. I don't know how you even, I mean, you can't even like zero this out and be like, all right, we're going to start over. I mean,
no.
You literally have, they have 2,000 some odd kids being held in rundown old Walmarts that no longer are being run by the Walton family, you know, and here's the amazing thing. Okay. So one of the things I don't think people know much about is the fact that with these detention centers that were created for both the adults and the children, they're using these old abandoned Walmarts, and they're not necessarily abandoned. Walmart still owns them, but there was preparation done. Go ahead.
So there's one thing I want to add to that, and this is not a conspiracy theory, but it does come from a conspiracy theory. You've heard of Jade Helm?
Sure.
So people in Texas kept talking about all these Walmarts that were emptying out, and they were clearing them out. And of course, like people like the InfoWars and stuff like that took it and ran. But I think now you're seeing exactly what these empty Walmarts were used for.
Right.
exactly what they were used for. They were clearing out, and people were paying attention to Jade Helm, and like, which is supposed to be this covert thing where the military was supposed to be conducting tests where they could spy on each other, right. And it was kind of like a big game of tag,
right,
throughout Texas. Well, I honestly think, and I could be wrong, and I'm one of those people who's open to evidence, but well, I'm thinking they cleared out these Walmarts exactly for this exact situation, why
right?
Not?
Well, and that's what. So, not only that, but they've been preparing for this for months. So this didn't start last week. This started a couple weeks. This started actually a couple months ago. Where the
and Jade Helm was 2015.
Right. So here's the issue: is that these Walmarts that they're using are still owned by the Walton family or the Walton Corporation or Walmart, Sam's Club. The basically these locations are still owned by the corporation. They are currently being rented out by the federal government here in the United States, and the federal government is using them to detain people. This was all started months ago. They began preparing for this months ago, and when they began preparing for it, it was part of what they were doing was they were taking control of these facilities. They were building these facilities out with chain link fences inside. They actually, in some of them, set them up so that they had. They actually have dormitories built into them. There's no ceilings to these rooms, but there are dormitories where they have 5 and 6 beds in them. And in some cases, they have 5 and 6 beds that are bunk beds. So they were preparing for this. This was not an onslaught that just all of a sudden came up and they weren't prepared for. This right. was being set up months ago. So they knew what this was going to be. Now, when they take and they blame Obama for this, so they say that this was a Democrat law, that they are simply running on a law for that the Democrats created, it's bullshit. This was not. This was a policy that both President Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions actually,
aka Dobby the Elf.
Yeah, they came up with this. This was something that they came up with. This was a policy that Trump enforced on the Justice Department, and then Jeff Sessions ran with it. Now, is
well,
it?
And then,
go ahead.
Well, you saw what Jeff Sessions said into his defense for it, right?
Which part? The one about from the Bible? The Bible quote?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And it, that the government has the laws and that God has ordained the government. Yeah. You better get just no.
Yeah.
Stop it. And if you read 10 passages down, the rest of it is how you should love your neighbor.
Yeah.
And love the, like, all right, so there comes your picking and choosing.
Exactly.
Get that shit out of here.
Exactly.
Like, get out of here. You're picking and choosing what you want to read.
For the life of me, I do not understand how do you think it's possible that the administration and every facet of the administration underneath the White House, do you think that they recognize the hypocrisy, that they recognize that, yes, you know, they're being, I don't think they do. Even if it's coming out of my mouth, I don't think that it's even possible. I think
when you surround yourself, your closest people with are the people who are going to tell you how great of a job you were doing and that will agree with you on your train of thought.
Right.
And the only force feedback you're going to get is from the people who are farther away, and their word means nothing to you. The media can say ABC, which is not the way it should be. You're an elected
right.
representative.
Right.
Not the way it should be, but your inner circle, your people around you are going to tell you that you're doing the right thing. And that's what they're going to feed off of. Is they're like, ignore the critics and everything. You're doing the right thing, Jeff. Here's what you have to do.
Right.
Exactly. And I honestly think there's no one there to go like, hey, wait a minute. And if they did, they get fired.
Right.
That's just what happens.
I still cannot actually wrap my head around how it was that this all came to be without when this began months ago. I get that people didn't necessarily see that it was going on. There were reports here and there about, you know, there were children, there were the 1500 children that went missing. You know, the administration, the federal government couldn't find these 1500 children that came across the border. And they were just lost. Well, it wasn't that they were lost. They knew where they were the whole time. They'd already put them in a detention center. And the reason that the federal government didn't recognize them as being there was no paperwork. There was nothing to indicate. Here's the thing. I wonder how many I wonder, and I I pray that there's no one that's been affected like this, but I wonder if there has been any loss of life. I wonder if there are any children that have been abused or harmed, that there's been loss of life, or that there's been emotional damage. I mean, I imagine there's emotional damage. There could not possibly have not been emotional damage from this. But
when those kids come out, and if they get reunited with their parents, then that's when you'll have to hear them out.
Right.
Right.
Are we gonna? I wonder if we're gonna. I feel like that there's enough.
And if you do, it'll be labeled as propaganda and lies.
Of course. Of course. Every single time. Every single time.
The truth is not that hard to find. It just, other bad people will dilute it.
Right.
And make it difficult for everyone else.
What infuriates me the most is like people that I work around that have this ability to put on blinders when it comes to situations like this. And I hear the conversations, and I tend not to open my mouth because, frankly, I don't know that any of them want to hear my opinion. And if they do, they'll ask. And the ones that do ask wind up regretting it. But, you know, I for the life of me, I do not understand how Republicans, as the, you know, the party of life, the of pro-life, the party of family, the party they keep claiming to be the party of Lincoln. You know, the idea that he was he held the country together, that he did what he had to free the slaves, and he did things that don't really associate themselves now with the Republican Party, because of course there was the flip-flop. And when I hear them say things like, well, you know, the Republican, you know, Trump being a Republican wouldn't do this unless he actually had to. And it's like, no, he's totally doing it, even though he doesn't have to.
I mean, he totally screwed over in like the late 80s, early 90s, a bunch of Polish immigrants who worked for over a year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, this man got on the phone and said his name was Barron.
Yeah.
It, just to lie to people. Like, yep. So you think Trump, because you saw him on whatever his show was, the Apprentice. Yeah. Okay. So you enjoyed that show. That's not Donald Trump. Trump's real person. No. Well, I guess part of it probably is just arrogance.
I don't know. I question whether or not. So I can't remember who I was talking to. Maybe it was you. I was saying that, you know, when The Apprentice was on, it was not one of those shows that I watched. And, you know, his claim that it was the number one rated
show. They showed
it
to me in school.
Really?
Well, I kid you not.
Well, so it was not a show that I ever watched because I didn't find it interesting, except for the one season. I think I watched maybe an episode or two when Snooki was on, and they had, I think Gary Busey was on one season. But I'd only watch the show if someone said that there was a lot with Gary Busey. And because Gary Busey is just insane, I love him. I think that exactly. I think that he is just crazy enough that I would let him be in my family.
I would love to have Gary Busey there. He's like, what are you guys doing?
There was a great show on Comedy Central that was, I can't remember what it was called, but it was basically this comedian, this 25, 26 year old comedian who came up with this show idea, and Comedy Central ran with it, where basically he spent days with Gary Busey and they filmed it and
really?
I'll search for it, but yeah, if you get an opportunity, this show was just it was called I'm with Busey.
I've hated Gary Busey since Under Siege. People may not remember. Yeah, he was in that movie and he was a dick.
Yeah, well, and I think it was his nephew. Was it Tom? Was his, I can't remember what it was.
Tommy Lee Jones?
No. His nephew was in Starship Troopers.
Big Teeth.
Yeah.
Just like him.
Yeah, another Big Teeth guy. Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That was that's Homeboy's God. Underrated movie, by the way, Starship Troopers.
Oh, I thought it was phenomenal.
First rated R movie I saw in the theater with my dad.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Dang. Well, there you go. I thought it was outstanding. I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. So
especially when Doogie Howser was like the scientist.
That's right. I forgot that he was in that. That's crazy. Well, you know, so there you go. Anyway, I don't know how we. Oh, Celebrity Apprentice. But I didn't watch Celebrity Apprentice. It didn't. It wasn't interesting to me. I didn't care who was going to work for Donald Trump.
Well, what we were just talking about was actually a perfect bridge to our next Donald Trump golden moment.
Oh, please.
Space Force.
Yes.
I'm joining, brother. Let's go.
I don't know that they'll accept me.
I think you actually, 36 is the limit, 34 or 36.
I'll be 40 in like 6 months, so I'm out.
I need Space Force to pick up within the next like 3 years because I'm 30 now.
So how does he introduce this?
It won't happen.
No, of course not. I mean, how does he introduce or how does he peg that on the Department of Defense and the Pentagon to say, all right, I need this is an order. You all need to go ahead and create this sixth branch of our military that will defend space.
Well, what he would have to do for it to be a logical thing, it's not like you're going to have Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps recruiting and then Space Force building right beside it. It's going to be you were in the Marines, you were in the Army, you were in the Air Force, you were in the Navy, and this is your skill set. Now you qualified to join the Space Force. You're in the CIA, you qualified to a certain degree to join the Space Force. They'll have certain, like as I said, qualifications for you to join, because it's not something. If it was a mass like opening, like yes, Space Force is a full blown thing. You can't just join it. You'll have Space Marines. You'll have Space Pilots. You'll have Space blah blah blah. You have to have expertise. You can't just if you join the Space Force. Say it was created tomorrow. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do in the Space Force? You're gonna be building whatever the hell they're gonna be trying to launch into space.
Sure.
Which would just be space stations, but let's be honest, it would probably be a nuclear weapon, and then just as we left the human rights thing from the UN just now,
uh-huh.
We would just be breaking off from the treaty saying you can't have nukes in space.
Right.
That'd be it. We'd be building weapons to go shoot up in space.
Right.
And like a Star Destroyer probably right beside the moon. Hell, no, it's Donald Trump. It'd be a Death Star. Dad, the moon looks funny. That's no moon, son. That's the moon.
Yeah. So I just did a quick search to see if I could find what the qualifications might be for the Space Corps.
Space Force.
Whatever. Yeah, Space. Yeah, they're calling it either Space Corps or Space.
Space Corps would be better than Space Force.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
Dumb.
Well, you could call it Space Corps. You know, Marine Corps, Space Corps. I think that makes more sense. So the only thing that people are saying apparently that if you're going to set the requirements, it looks as though they'd probably just be very similar to the Air Force in detail.
But what? you're gonna have a daggum Raptor pull up to the Air Force Raptor, but yours is like a shade darker.
Yeah,
like Space Force, no Air Force, no. Like, you know what I think it would be in 100 years? Do you remember the remake of Lost in Space that had Joey from Friends?
Yeah.
Where they're just shooting lasers and fighting each other.
Yep.
It would just be what's going on Earth. It'd be a bunch of fuck around up in space. That's it.
I don't disagree. I think that's probably, I think that's probably exactly what it would be. So
That's exactly what it would be.
I assume that you'd have to be a citizen of the United States, or at least are seeking citizenship by going into the military, specifically the Space Corps. You'd have to take the AFOQT. That's that, I guess it's like a some sort of a test to measure intelligence.
You talking about the ASVAD?
No, they've got a different one for the Air Force. It's an Air Force something.
Well, I know.
Operations something.
I was almost enlisted in the Air Force. I went to... The reason I didn't get in is I failed MEPS. I scored a 95 on the ASVAD.
Oh, okay.
That's what they gave me, and I qualified to do rocket propulsion technology.
Oh, okay. I took the ASVAD.
I failed the physical part. They're like, you puked and then shit yourself.
All we asked for was one pull up. That's it. Just one. Could you one pull up? Can you do a sit? Well, no sit ups.
Let me tell you this story for everyone else who's listening. And I know Ami's listening and she'll come running up and tell me about it.
All right.
So What happened was is I wanted to join the military. I didn't want to join the Army or Marine Corps. I wanted to do technology, so I wanted to join the Air Force. I scored really high on the ASVAB. That was awesome. I was 185 pounds, and they told me I needed to drop 15 pounds. And I had a week to do it because then I was going to go to MEPS, which is Medical Entrance and Processing.
Sure.
Something. It's in Fort Jackson. So my recruiter and I, we went, and he and Fort Jackson's an Army base, so they didn't care too much for me being there as sure. an Air Force
sure.
Pulley. So we did it, and I was like, no, I can physically do it. I can do push-ups. I can run. I can do all this. But he was like, it's your weight. And I was like, fine. God. I was like, I'm 185 pounds. I don't feel too fat. He goes, do anything it takes. Eat salads, tuna fish. Just don't. So my mom comes up with the bright idea that I should take what you take to get a colonoscopy.
Oh, you...
That
barium.
That sweet drink, yeah. Oh, God. So it didn't kick in that night. I drank it, and I'm like, I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I drank it at like 12 during the day. I'm mm-hmm. just like, I need to know the day before. It didn't do anything, and I'm like, this isn't working. So we go there, and I'm right at weight just from what I'm already doing, but I wanted to be like right in that weight.
Yeah, yeah.
I get there, and they don't play around. They're yelling at you. They're telling you to go sit at these desks. And they're like, wait, your instructor is going to tell you what stages you're going to. It's like a drug test, a physical, eye exams, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I look at him, and I just feel my guts get on fire.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. He goes, you'll pee in a cup in a minute. I was like, you ain't got a cup big enough, brother. I need to go. Let me tell you. So I went. I'm so dehydrated. I come back in there. I'm like, I might have to go again. I'm trying to pee in this cup, and it doesn't happen. And they're like, you'll come back. They're running you through. They're taking blood. They're doing all this. He goes, what hasn't he done? He goes, he hasn't peed. And the whole time they're talking, I'm sitting there like, I don't feel so good. I puked in a trash can because I was drinking water, trying to figure out, like just trying to hydrate to take a pee. And finally, they're like, you still need to pee. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm trying to pee, and there's two gigantic fucking army guys staring right at my junk like pee.
I can't do it.
I'm like, brother, I can't. Like, I'm finally like, ugh. Like, is this good? It's mostly blood.
Oh. I can tell you, I can't pee on command. I cannot pee in front of people. I walked into the restroom today, and two of the people we work with were in the bathroom having a conversation. First, gross, get out of the bathroom. Why are you having a conversation in the bathroom? Secondly, I walked up to the urinal. They're having this conversation. At this point, they've involved me in the conversation. I just can't pee. Like, it doesn't matter how many times I flush the toilet to make noise. I just can't go. So I'm standing there, and I was like, you know what? I give up. I'll come back later. So I zipped it up and was like, I, you know, pretended like I did pee.
I used to not be that way. I used to be fine. I didn't care. Ever since you have two grown men who could whip your ass staring at your junk, telling you over and over to pee.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't happen, man.
Well, yeah. So regardless, I think you're probably right. It's probably the same qualifications you have to meet for other branches of the military, and being almost 40 is going to make it I'm not available.
Well, then I guess there's no way. They probably have record. They're like, you're not getting into the Space Force, Mr. No P.
I assume.
Oh, man.
I assume that they'll probably pull from the other branches. I mostly the Air Force, because the Air Force already has a space division to it. I mean, there is already a division that flies, you know, suborbital. You know, they already do this. So the idea that now we're going to have a Space Force that will. I don't even know what they're going to do. I mean,
well, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse. Yeah. All right. So you want to go to space when we don't have the technology to sustain what a Space Force would need. Then why don't you go ahead and increase NASA's budget?
Right. And
they're dealing with like 3%, which is billions of dollars, but it's only 3%.
Right. Right. And
get out of here.
And what they have the ability to scan something like in a given night, they have the ability to scan something like less than 350 hundredths of the actual visible sky. So, I mean, like, we had
That's where the James Webb telescope's about to come in.
Right. Well, but it was just last week or the week before that we had an asteroid that came between us and the moon, and it got spotted only hours before it actually passed by Earth. So it's like...
No, they knew.
They knew? Okay, well...
Yeah, here's the thing, people of Earth. NASA is not reliable for a lot of things.
Sure.
NASA's basic job since inception in 1953, how do you get out of here? It's all propulsion. It's all survival. It's all safety. Their whole thing is the travel part. And there's extensions of NASA who deal with exploration and things like that. But the thing you have to rely on for things, for viewing, potential Earth, collisions and, catastrophic events, the private sector is where it's at.
Right.
NASA could have been where SpaceX is right now had they had the proper funding. They could have done it 50 years ago.
Yeah. No, I assume that's probably correct. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we're only, you know, if you look at it this way, first of all, I don't understand why he didn't call. Why didn't they just call it Starfleet?
Right.
I mean, because we're only like, I don't know, 40 something years away from first contact. I mean, we're literally only, I mean, the Vulcans will be here in the next 45 years.
Hey, we're still working on the warp drive, right?
Well, okay, so but the I don't know.
This is my whole field of things, Barrett. I'm a total nerd when it comes to physics, especially astrophysics.
Yeah.
Things like that. Like that is my niche. We could be here for 5 hours, so buckle up, people.
I don't know if I have the hard drive space. I don't know. Because first contact was April 5th, 2063. So, you know, we're literally only 45 years away from that, right?
Well, and think about it, dude. 40 years ago, what were they using, cell phones?
No. Mm-mm. No, in fact...
This was impossible.
Right. Well, we had phones. I don't know. So what is it? I don't know exactly how warp drive works. I know that basically it's not necessarily traveling, but bending space around you so you can hop from one point to another, even though
a lot of warp drive at times is folding the space instantaneously,
right,
to travel to point A to point B.
Right. So it's not necessarily that you're moving at the speed of light. It's that you're going across folds of space in order to travel that distance, right?
Right, because gravity is a basic like field, like Einstein predicted. It's a fabric.
Right.
Earth sits on it, and its mass bends into it.
Right.
So it folds space and time. So if gravity can do that, then you have to have a machine that can
warp
makes
that.
So much gravity that it's going to pull two points together.
Right.
Now, like Star Trek, what they do is on the front, they pinch space, and on the back, it's expanded. And the ship itself is in a bubble that's adherent to all of that.
Gotcha.
It's all theoretical. Like, we don't even know
if it's
possible. It's just as fun as saying, well, of course, there's 32 billion infinite whatever universes. There's another Barrett right now, and the only difference is the Braves colors on your hat are green and black. Like
on St. Patrick's Day. Oh, I'm just
kidding. Who knew the Braves were pink and yellow? Who loved it? Whatever. It's you could say that all day, but organizations like CERN and stuff, they will speed up particles to the speed of light and let them collide,
right,
and read off of what happens. Like, you need things like that.
Agreed.
People shouldn't be so afraid and have that voodoo kind of juju thing about it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, so we I know we talked about Trump, and I will say I am thankful that he has issued an executive order that will stop the families from being separated. I don't know that it's actually going to stick. I don't know what the plan is from here. I guess over the course of the next few days, we'll find out exactly what's going to go on with all of this, because it feels like it was just kind of haphazardly thrown together to say, all right, we're going to stop doing this now. But what's the solution? What's going to continue to happen? News broke this afternoon. I don't know if you've seen it yet. So I may be dropping this bomb on you. But apparently, a couple days ago, Comcast put in a bid of $65 billion to outbid Disney for Fox's studios, including X-Men and things like that. You heard about this, right?
Right, but Fox just agreed to Disney's $79 billion
offer. $71.3 billion to ensure that I will have Wolverine in the Avengers.
Well, also, maybe I like to think that Disney did it because the head of Disney just wanted the original cut of Star Wars and had to have the rights to it.
That very well could be. And it's not even that they're just looking for the distribution. I mean, that's all they'll really get from Fox on the Star Wars, because they already own LucasArts. They own the Star Wars story.
Right.
They just needed the distribution of Star Wars, because every time they come out with a Star Wars movie, because of that title, Fox still gets money off of it without doing anything except for having their lights and drumbeat at the beginning of it.
I'm pretty sure that's the whole reason you see Lucasfilm still at the front of the scroll.
That is it.
I mean, and Lucas sold all of Lucasfilm, but people don't realize Lucasfilm, that whole company is not just Star Wars.
No.
Every movie you see that you love and it sounds great and looks great is because of Lucasfilm. But Lucasfilm in general, all movie companies usually go out to San Francisco, that area between Lucas Ranch, and that's where they cut their movies. For an example, Kevin Smith, all his movies,
right,
they go to Lucas Ranch, stay out there and cut them.
Yep.
That is where the entertainment industry took off.
So if you're Disney, how pissed off are you over the course of the last 3 or 4 days to find out that you had a $52.4 billion deal and now you're having to cut a check for nearly $20 billion more just to get a hold of Fox Studios and FXX and FX and all of these? It doesn't include Fox News Channel. It doesn't include Fox Business Network. So Fox and Friends will not be more Disney-like.
Yeah.
We're not going to replace Steve Ducey with Winnie the Pooh.
How more pissed are you being George Lucas, realizing you sold Star Wars for $4 billion?
I don't think he's got to be too disappointed, because at the time when he sold LucasArts to Disney,
He said, hey, I fucked it up with Jar Jar Binks. You guys can have it.
Yeah, basically. But I want to say that I think the value was only somewhere around like $1.1 billion. And that was pretty much just because of merchandising.
Well, the merchandising thing is what Lucas knew. He was like, shit. Like, that's... you're right, though. Because, I mean, as a singular human being, $1 billion... $1 billion... He had four.
Yeah.
And he still gets to go check out the movie sets, and people go, what do you think, George?
They ask him his opinion. Yeah. I mean, they see, but where was he on Solo? I still have not seen Solo. I've only heard bad things.
Okay.
Where was Lucas on Solo? Be like, no, don't do that. I did that once.
What we need to do is you and me, we'll go see Solo.
Yeah.
And then we'll come on next time and be like, quick, a little thing before.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Solo real quick.
Yeah. Well,
I honestly don't think it'll be as bad as we want. Does that Alden Emmerich,
I don't want it to be bad.
He doesn't look like Han Solo.
I have plenty of friends that are huge Star Wars fans. Like, their life is that they met their loved ones over Star Wars. They know more about Star Wars than Star Trek. And frankly, I don't care which direction one goes or the other.
I'm just a nerd. I love both. But I'm telling you right now, Star Wars, 8-year-old Zach King was over there like Han Solo in it up.
Yeah.
And Han Solo's my boy.
Yeah.
I have to have that.
No, and I understand that. But let's see, at 8 years old, I don't think Next Generation was quite out yet. I'm almost certain that it was not.
God, Bear, you don't have to tell people that. 1989.
I was 1989. I was 10.
You know how old I was? One.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was Zach King's last appearance on No, that's okay.
Hey, Next Generation is still like, I love them all.
Look, if we're still doing this in, let's see, if we're still doing this in 50 years and I'm 90 and we're still doing these shows, half of the show is going to be you cleaning my diaper.
No, it'll be me getting your kids to come in like, he did it again. I'm not pausing this show.
Yeah, we're gonna keep recording straight through this, all the way through this. Yeah, that'll be tough. That'll be tough. But yeah, no. So Lucas, I'm sorry. So Disney has thrown in another bid, and apparently it's stuck.
That, Fox took it.
Yeah, Fox has signed on it, and they're gonna take their $71.3 billion, and I don't even know what they'd do with that. I mean, if you're Fox or if you are the company that owns Fox, which I assume was Fox, I don't even know who owns Fox. I mean, I just thought, I guess it's News Corp. News Corp owns Fox.
Well, here's what I hope they do with it. Reinvent it like they've reinvented everything else.
Yeah.
Do the X-Files, man.
Oh, my gosh.
And I know they re-came back out with the X-Files, and it was kind of so-so, but they could totally just be like, screw it. No more David Duchovny or anything. Like let's make the X-Files dope.
And right.
Yeah, you just paid $70 billion for this thing. You have the money to make X-Files dope. Go do it.
I need Jack Bauer to come back in 24. I need.
That's already happening.
Are you kidding me? I have not seen that.
No. Yes.
Jack Bauer's coming back as.
Yes. They're remaking. They're coming back out with 24 again, and Jack Bauer is in it.
My life is almost complete.
Yep.
Now
like,
I think
they only said there was like one cast member they couldn't get, one or two, but yes. I'm not a big 24 fan. I actually never watched it, so I can't say I don't like it.
Oh.
But yeah.
Have you So you do have an assignment. At some point you're gonna need to at least watch the first season.
Watch some 24. Yeah, for sure.
Well, are they giving
like Homeland? I've never watched Homeland, but people seem to love that too.
I've watched the first five seasons of Homeland, and honestly, I like Homeland. I'm not a big fan of the girl that's in it because it's hard to watch her act because I don't
Claire Danes.
Yeah, she just has a weird delivery, and I'm not a huge fan of her delivery. But you know, it's not a bad show. I liked when they had the American that was the guy that was the terrorist, you know, that,
right.
that he had been brainwashed to. That was the
Claire
first.
Claire Danes kind of has that Mark Wahlberg thing where she always looks confused as to what's going on.
I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw it was Andy Samberg or Adam Samberg. Which one is
Andy
he?
Samberg.
Andy Samberg. Andy, it was Andy Samberg doing his impression of Mark Wahlberg on Saturday Night Live. He this is the Mark Wahlberg show. We're here looking at a goose. Hey goose, how you doing? All right, the goose isn't talking right now. We're gonna move on. This is a hippopotamus. What's up, hippopotamus? You know, perfect.
Yeah.
It is perfect.
Andy Samberg, his impressions aren't always spot on, but when he has a good one, they're good. Like he does a perfect Nicolas Cage.
Oh yeah.
Like he did the he's like, oh, we're gonna go to the tomb of Abraham Lincoln's dog. What? Like I just lost it. Like. It wasn't perfect. He looked he sounded just like him. It was perfect. It was great.
I will say that is so there's, and I know this is probably only siding with some of my Republican friends, but I do like the fact that Andy Samberg's show got picked back up, but it'll just be on NBC now. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine got dropped from Fox. It'll be on NBC.
NBC, yeah.
And I am glad that Last Man Standing with Tim Allen is going to be back. I know.
That was a great show.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a terrific show. And it's like kind of like watching Roseanne. I didn't think watching Roseanne's new show was more, you know, conservative or Trump leaning than the other characters were more, you know, liberal leaning. I thought that it was pretty even. I thought that it was good.
At the same time, Tim Allen wasn't out there saying racist things.
Not on Twitter. Yeah. No.
No. Yeah. Let's face it. Tim Allen was in prison for cocaine charges.
Right.
He's not a perfect guy.
But that's like I really like, who's the guy that does that show used to do the show Dirty Jobs Mike Rowe. So I used to really like watching Mike Rowe, and I kind of got the impression even watching his show that he probably had some fairly conservative values. That's perfectly fine. I have conservative values when it comes to, you know, fiscal conservativity, conservatism. You know, I I have my faith and my family and whatnot, and I want to protect them, and I want to you know, protect my financial interests and things like that. That's perfectly fine. But I also I lean left and liberal when it comes to wanting to help people and wanting our government to take care of people that need to be taken care of.
I don't think that should be considered left-leaning. I think wanting to help people should be just
a duh.
Normal thing, but yeah. You get qualified as a liberal
right.
by other people. It's like, oh, I want to help somebody, so therefore I'm a snowflake. Thanks.
Exactly.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's asinine, but it is what it is. So if that's how it has to be, if I have to be considered left-leaning because I think that we should have social programs that take care of people like Social Security and disability and Medicaid and things like that. When people right. can't themselves afford to take care of themselves, you know, medically speaking, their health, things like that, then yes, I absolutely believe that we're the richest country on the planet. Why can't we do that? So regardless, holy shit, I can't remember where I was going with that.
It's all good.
Well, regardless. Anyway, so yeah, so Last Man Standing is coming back. And so, and 24, Jack Bauer and 24, or I'm sorry, I keep saying Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland, because his show on ABC got canceled. And I did read that if they decided not to carry on with Designated Survivor, that they would throw, that Jack Bauer had, or that Kiefer Sutherland had already been in discussions to bring back 24 and his character, Jack Bauer. So,
you want to blow my mind? Let's go ahead and make 24, but base it like 100 years in the future, and then have his dad play him.
I have a hard time believing that Donald Sutherland's playing anything other than some character where he just stands in the same place.
I want him to have the fastest fucking like hover wheelchair you've ever seen. The bomb's going off. Just going.
Oh, poor Kiefer.
Oh. I would watch it.
I really hope Kiefer doesn't look like his dad when he gets to be his dad's age.
Well, see, I never liked Kiefer Sutherland ever since I watched Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah.
There's that jerk. And yeah. Then Lost Boys. He was a jerk in Lost Boys. Kiefer Sutherland played a jerk for almost... I mean, he's a jerk in 24
yeah.
for the most part.
Yeah, 100%. Actually, funny is if
I
you watch...
I think he's just like, I'm an asshole. I need to play an asshole.
If you watch Designated Survivor, you recognize it's pretty much just Jack Bauer up there as the president. It's Kiefer yeah. Sutherland, the jerk, as president. I mean, I'd have voted for him. I mean, so...
My God, that man, he's a jerk, but he gets it done.
Oh, love it. Anyway, so...
Well, and just to add to your continuation thing with all that, Lucifer got picked up by Netflix.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never watched a single episode of it, and has nothing to do with me being atheist, but yes, it got picked up.
Well, I mean, that's good. I've not actually watched Lucifer yet.
Won't watch like Iron Fist and stuff like that, like the Defenders. Like I watched Daredevil, and then they're like trying to make the Defenders, and they about canceled that. Like,
yeah,
Iron Fist and stuff.
I'm yeah,
like, whatever.
Let's see.
There's so many shows they come across my feed and it's stuck up here in my brain. I can't deal with it.
Yeah,
I just know it.
There's an article here. It says 24 Kiefer Sutherland talks about returning to Jack Bauer. This was just a week ago. So that's terrific. I hope that.
I'm glad I had a revelation for you.
I appreciate it. No, that made my night. On top of the president signing an executive order to end a policy that he and his attorney general created, I think that's, you know, that was fantastic. Very happy.
Well, there we go, man. well, also, in this one, you may not know, but you know how they have Star Trek Discovery right now?
I do.
They're talking about having Jean-Luc Picard come back.
Yeah, except, okay, so I assume that will not be on Discovery, because the problem with on Discovery takes place when Captain Pike is the captain of Enterprise. And I'm not quite, which is before Kirk. So except I think when during Discovery, he's still captain.
Yeah.
And I think... And I could be completely wrong, but I'm not sure that it falls in the same timeline as the movies that we have now. I don't think it's the same timeline. I think Discovery is in the timeline that the Next Generation came. There's a whole lot of confusing shit. Okay. So I think that Discovery takes place during the same timeline that Next Generation and Voyager and all of those were. So right. It falls after the Klingon War, or during or after the Klingon War, which means that Captain Pike being the captain of the Enterprise is actually a longer trip than he was captain of the Enterprise during the movies, because in the movies, one mission and he was captured and then he was no longer captain. So
I'll tell you this, they could absolutely, like, they would have me every night.
Oh yeah.
When it came out, if they just like were like, all right, we're doing Next Generation again, and they're just continuing.
Yeah. Oh, I think that'd be phenomenal.
Okay, fine.
You know, I'd be disappointed for Riker, the fact that he's still a commander, but you know, poor dude.
Well, then you would have to have something like he does something like in the space in between where we weren't watching, where he gets demoted back to commander.
All right, number one, go clean up my number two.
Number one, I need to go check on number two.
I am excited, though. I saw that Discovery got signed on for and I know that it's on the CBS All Access platform. I don't
only
care.
Only reason I won't watch it. I care. I absolutely care.
Oh well, I download it.
Stick it up your butt. I'm not watching it on. Not watching it on your app.
Oh, I'll bring it to you.
Well, do that. Please do that. I will watch it, but I'm not doing your app. So
it was.
I'm not doing
it. I will say. Let me just tell you. It was terrific. It was
I
like
heard very good things.
It was like watching a very high quality 1 hour movie every week. It was really good. I'll bring it to you tomorrow.
All right, please do, because is it Sherlock good? Like I'm watching an hour of like good greatness the entire time.
I thought that it was fantastic every episode. I thought it was really good every episode. So,
and the chick from The Walking Dead is like the main character of the whole thing. She's half human, half.
She's not actually half human, half Vulcan. She was adopted by Spock's parents.
Oh, what?
Yeah, she was adopted by Spock's parents and was taken to Vulcan and basically taught as a human or educated as a human in Vulcan culture and science and learning. So really good. It was really good. Like it was there were some twists to it that I did not see coming, and it was just really good. So I will, you know what? And then next time we do a podcast after you've watched at least the first episode, then we can discuss it, because I'm going to go back and watch it again, because I'll binge it
through at night.
There you go. Well, I think there's like 13 episodes. And
try me.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Do you, sir, have anything else that you would like to discuss tonight before we end this?
I do not believe so. I am working on, and we had talked about it, but I'm working on a couple other podcast ideas.
Sure.
For some stuff that we're writing out. And maybe we'll talk about it in the in-between time, and maybe we'll get it out some next time we get together and talk.
That would be cool. I want you to know that I am still holding you to the not trimming your beard until football season or after football season. I haven't either. Look, this is...
I hear you. I even have a big old gray hair coming down right here.
You have one gray hair, you bastard.
I'm only 30, man.
I can't just, even it's, count it's the number of gray hairs I have.
White hair. Yeah. That is true. You got the old man Logan thing going on.
Do I? Yeah. It's this is going to be atrocious by the time we get to the other side of football season.
Oh yeah, it'll we're going to be there. We're going to be look like the Lumberjack Bros going through there.
We won't have any more friends.
No,
it's all we'll done.
We'll be super skinny from all our running and exercising.
Well, you might. I've been doing this since February, and just as an update, I don't know that I talked about this on the show before, but I did start dieting beginning of February, and since February I've lost 75 pounds, which is a huge number, but I don't know what it is about me and my personality, but when anyone ever says anything about like, oh, you've done great, you've lost a lot of weight, it just rolls off me, because I don't feel like I've worked that hard to get to this point. I feel like all I've really done is just change my diet and not not indulged like I would normally indulge, or like I used to indulge. I mean, I'm satisfied. So I think that I have altered my life in a way that has created this change and this difference. But, you know, losing 75 pounds, I still have another 30 that I want to lose. So,
it all takes time. I mean, you have to, you're older. Not yeah. to say you're old, Barrett. But
no.
Metabolism does slow down.
No, I'm old. I get it. Fact. I feel old. I look older.
Well, when I was 26, I didn't have a vehicle, and my dad didn't do me too right when it came to taking a vehicle I was using.
Yeah.
So I had to walk to work for 3 miles for 3 months. I lost 50 pounds because I had to do it. I had a higher metabolism.
Sure.
And now that's kind of why I have that 3 mile benchmark that I'm trying to work my way up to. I can't just go out and do 3 miles every day at the moment. I'm doing that 1.5 to get my body used to it, get my legs used to it. But after that, it'll come up. It's a thing that you build into a habit.
Yeah.
That eventually one day you're going to look in the mirror and go, I feel good. I feel more comfortable. And then you'll look at an old picture and go, I don't ever want to go back there.
Oh, yeah. Well,
for me, that's like my whole thing.
This isn't my first time doing this. When I got married the first time, we got the pictures back. And this was 2006. We got the pictures back from the wedding. And when I saw the pictures, I was just horrified by what I saw in these pictures. It made me sick to my stomach. And from that point forward, probably about a month later, I started doing a fairly intensive shake diet. And I was walking 3 miles or 2 miles a day at work. And then I was walking, I would get home and I would do another 3 miles at home every night. So I was doing 5 to 6 miles of walking, not just counting regular walking a day. And I went from weighing 390 something pounds. I dropped all the way down to 220 in about 8 months.
That's awesome.
It was, well, yes and no. It was also terrible for the fact that I did not actually change my lifestyle in a way that promoted me keeping that weight off. It was that I did it, and it was just sort of like, oh, I accomplished this. And then I went right back to it. I went right back to the same habits that I had before. So this time
that's the hardest part.
Right. This time I feel like it's different. I feel like this time I have changed the lifestyle in a way that will allow me to keep this weight off and continue losing the 30 or so pounds or more that I want to lose. You know, I feel better. I think I run faster than I did before. I don't know for certain because I haven't really made it on base that many times recently in kickball. But that, by the way, don't forget that we are going to try and do softball this fall winter. So that'll be
I'll be there and I'll be in bat in shape.
Yeah. Well, I hope someone is because I'm a terrible batter. I've never been a good batter, and you know that's just how it is.
I was going to tell you this too. Because I'm using the same app you use to track your running,
sure.
your times and stuff. It makes a world of difference to have you like my time when I'm done with it and you like it.
Yeah.
It's just a kind of the extra motivation. So I appreciate it, and I have now followed you back. So when I see you run, I'm gonna like it. And that's that motivation, man.
Well,
you
always gotta
have that. You gotta have that person in your corner that'll sit there and push you to keep doing. And just like you said, falling back into old habits. About like 4 months ago, I had lost 20 pounds and I was feeling really good about myself. But I fell right back into the habits that I swore to that I would.
I'll tell you, one of the biggest things is I don't go out to eat for lunch almost at all. I'll go out maybe once a week, but in the last few weeks, it's dropped to not going out to eat at all. I mean, I think we've gone out to eat maybe once in the last couple of weeks, and it's mostly because I feel like I can control the diet. I can control what I eat better if I am if I bring it to work, and I don't mind eating in the break room because I'm getting away from my desk and I don't have to look at work. So, you know, eating at the break room is fine, but you're right. It's a lifestyle change. And I think that I have accomplished that this time. I believe so.
I think there's a benefit to establishing a longer term goal that you'll commit to. Say it's 90 days,
right?
And within when you get past the 30, then you've kind of mainlined what you can and cannot have.
Sure.
And then it becomes you've worked into this this little group, this little limit that you set for yourself, and you come to realize your treats that aren't so bad for you once you're within that,
sure.
And then you stick with it.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to do now. I'm doing this one for 60 days, running no matter what for 60 days.
So are you actually running or are you walking?
I'll do the walk and then I'll do the run. That's okay. Why my times are kind of inconsistent.
Well, one of the things I have my Fitbit, and I use my Fitbit when I'm when I walk, and I wear it all the time. But if you know Fitbit, then you know that they also have these challenges where you can challenge people you know, or you can be in a challenge and try to. It's like the I'm in a work week hustle with a me right now, and I am. Mm-hmm. I'm at 40,000 steps for the week already, and I won't tell you what she's at because she'll probably punch me for even mentioning this. Okay. So regardless. So, but I've been in other challenges with individuals, and while I don't mind the idea of being someone's inspiration in getting themselves out and working out or running or walking or whatever, I don't mind being their inspiration. I am modest in the sense that I don't necessarily, I don't want to be responsible for it. And so if like, so there's an individual we work with who I'm not going to say he cheats. I'm going to say that he has figured out a way to get more steps, without walking. He gets on the stationary bike, and he's got and literally he straps his Fitbit to his leg, and he gets on the stationary bike, and he'll be on there for an hour. Well, yeah, in an hour I could probably get an additional 5,000 or 6,000. No, I mean I can do that walking. I can get 6,000 steps in an hour walking, but on the stationary bike I could probably get 12,000 steps an hour. So what would happen is I would go to bed being like 6,000 steps ahead, you know, not really caring that I'm ahead, but at the same time, if a competition, then I at least want it to be a competition. I don't want to knowingly have this weight on me because there's someone that is circumventing the system, and they're basically attaining more steps without actually doing the work.
Right.
They knew that they were doing this, and when I mentioned it, you know, he slipped and he said, oh yeah, no. You know, I get on the elliptical. Oh yeah. And then I strap my Fitbit to my ankle.
That's cheating. Cheater.
Yeah. So, you know, and I get the impression that because I'm not now doing the same challenge with people that might be doing that challenge with them, it's because I am perplexed as to why he wouldn't just do the walking, you know? So I don't know. It's not really a thing. It's not really something that bothers me enough to be like on it. But at the same time, you know, if I'm being challenged, then I want it to be a fair challenge.
A real challenge.
So, you know,
I'm going to get a shake weight to run with.
Okay, so here's funny story. The team that we're playing in kickball tomorrow night is a team called Sornex. Sornex is an outfit here in Lexington County, just on the other side of Lexington, that actually manufactures gym equipment. So their employees are retired military or you know, they've been...
They're all ripped.
Yeah, they are unbelievable. One of the guys on their team, I haven't seen him play for them in a little while. It's been a few months. It's been a few seasons, but... He had to have been like 6'10", and he played first base. And as the first base coach, I would stand over there and I called to the umpire one time. I said, "This guy is not allowed to be out here wearing heels. That is not fair." I mean, I'm looking at him. He is easily a foot taller. No, well, I'm 6'1". So
yeah,
he's
why
only
are you
like,
playing first base for a professional baseball team, jerk?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. So anyway, but yeah, so we're playing Sornex. We were all gonna order shake weights one season and come out just you know, just
Hey, when I worked at Goodwill, people donated them left, right, and center. So
really?
Sit there being like,
I have never seen them. Well, I've not been to Goodwill a lot recently, but I've never seen them at Goodwill.
There's people who care about getting stuff more than you do.
That's true.
They're like the people who knock on the door when we open, knowing that there's stuff on the shelves.
That's probably true. Oh well. Anything else?
I think I'm tapped out of ideas.
Well, I am going to tap out as well. So, Zach, thank you again for being on the show tonight. I think we're just probably going to make this a regular thing, and then maybe we'll bring other people on. I think your friend was going to come on tonight, but you said that he is indisposed.
He had partaken in adult beverages.
That could have been interesting.
Yeah, he's kind of got a weak hiatus until he starts his new job, so I can't play.
Fair enough. All right, Zach. Yes, well, thank you again for joining us. This has been All About Nothing. We will see you next week.
Absolutely. Peace, people.